having us pray for his voice. He's worried about it. That sounded great to me, Scott. So Holy Spirit took over. A lot to make us want to fly away in this old world. Amen. A lot of things going on. So thank you for that reminder, Scott. One day soon. But it is great to be in God's house this morning, and thank you for being. We've got visitors here. Good to have y'all, some for baptism, and others just good to be in God's house to worship together. And I tell you, just so thankful for what you brought for the flood victims. We had some last week, and that went down the road already, and then got some more, and that'll be taken to put on the truck. And thank David. I think Daniel's going to head down in the morning and carry that down to the church down there. So thank you for bringing it, and thank you, David, for your part and helping with that. And so we're just excited about that. So thank you so much. And as we get ready to dive in this morning, I tell you, I've been praying for really for some time now. You know, as we come up on election time, you know, we need to continue to pray for the freedoms, and we're so blessed, amen, the freedoms we have to worship in our country. There's limitations keep creeping in, and one of those things is, as a pastor now, I'm not supposed to tell you who to vote for, and for any year, I'm glad that I don't have to tell you who to vote for this year, amen. But it is my responsibility to help you, though, kind of guide you to spiritually and biblically to make your decisions. And I wanted to mention a couple things along that line to give you one resource to help you so you can look and pray. But first of all, I encourage you, even beg of you, to please vote. There's some folks have thought, well, maybe I'm just not going to vote this year and get in all the mess that we've seen. But I want you to remember that men and women have died to protect that right that we have to vote. So I want you to vote. If everybody who says they're a Christian, if they would vote and vote according to God's word, we wouldn't have the mess that we've got now. You probably like me, my first, second, third, about fourth choice, they've done out. They was out during the primary times, and so, but we need to vote, amen? And we need to vote biblically, and I know that is a challenge. The second thing is, and I've joked about this, you may have said this, and I've said it and even joked about it, but I'm just going to write in. I've told some of you I'd rather write your name in. I've said I'm going to write the name of Jesus in. But folks, I want you, that's not how our system works. God knows exactly what's going on. I don't understand all he's doing, but you need to remember. And I do can share one fact with you statistically in the years that there's been a lot of that happen. The most liberal person running wins by a higher margin. So consider just going and vote as God lays on your heart. And the third thing, I'll give you a resource. I mentioned this the last go-round with the primaries, but write this down, AFA.net. Really simple to remember, AFA.net. It's the American Family Association. They do some great work with a lot of different things. But if you'll check their website out, you'll have a voter guide there. Now, the full details of it, I noticed this morning, will be out later this week, maybe by Friday. But you'll put in even by the state of North Carolina. And listen, if you're like me, I go so many times to vote, and I don't know a lot of who I'm voting for. I don't know a lot about them. We know the main things, but AFA.net, you put in the state of North Carolina, and it'll give you, listen, what it will give you there from the president on down is where they stand on the issues. And two of the most important issues as Christians be aware of is abortion, number one, and it's very clear where the candidates stand there. And number two is Supreme Court nominations. So I pray, just in prayer, vote biblically, but vote. Amen? Amen. Turn in your Bibles with me to Daniel chapter 9. We've been looking for some Sundays now about listening to God. We were looking in Daniel last Sunday. If you're visiting with us, I promise I'll catch you right up. But it's all about listening to God. That's how I prayed this morning. I've been listening to him this week and early this morning. Want to listen to him this morning. Want to encourage you as we dive into the scripture this. Hey, listen, what's going on right here, right now, that you're involved on this morning is far more important and greater than anything that's going on in the White House. Amen? Or will this week. That's going in the schoolhouse or the workhouse or at your house or my house. What we've done today to come in and we prayed and we worship God and we praise his name. We've looked at his word in Sunday school. We're looking looking again. Hey, you've come to the right place. You're involved in what's important, and I encourage you, if you don't have a home church, you're looking for one, we welcome you. I encourage the churches of Rephaim. Remember, what we're doing here is the greatest importance of all. So in Daniel, beginning in, let's just read in beginning verse 3. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, if you'll stand with me to honor the reading of his words. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. And I set my face to the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, to them that keep his commandments. Look at verse 5. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even departing from the precepts and the judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto the servants, the prophets, which spake in the name to our kings, our prince, our fathers, and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to thee. But unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of the trespass they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our prince, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in the laws which thou hast set before us by his servants, the prophets. Dear God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for Daniel's boldness, Daniel's acknowledgement of his own sin, his personal sin, the sin of the people. Lord, I thank you that we can open your word this morning and be reminded, just as Daniel's day and the people of God in Daniel's day, how they not listened to you. Lord, we want to listen this morning. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we've had to listen to you this week, Lord, for your word and our devotion time for prayer, for our Wednesday service, for just seeing you amongst, Lord, as we're out in this world. And Lord, we come this morning, Lord, just seeking a fresh word from you. Lord, I pray you'll hide me behind the cross, Lord, and not be my words that are heard, but the Spirit might speak to my heart and every heart here, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We looked last week, just to catch you up if you weren't here, that Daniel had a plan to hear God. And that's where we began there in verse 3. It says he had set his face to the Lord. He was going to seek the Lord by prayer. He did it with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And then in verse 4, he went on and he was aware that there was some performance. He had to do something, right? There was a performance, a power in the prayer. He was aware of the work of prayer. He said, I prayed in the Lord my God. He was aware of sin because it says that he made my confession. That was his personal confession of the sin in his life. And then he was aware of who God was. He called him, O Lord, and called him great and awesome. So we come this morning to verse 5. We're going to really focus this morning on verse 5 and really focusing on the statement that's made in the first three words of verse 5. Look at it with me. Daniel 9, verse 5, three simple words. Daniel boldly steps forward and says, we have sinned. We have sinned. I began to think about that. He then goes to list committing iniquity, doing wickedly and rebelling. Because the problem was, Daniel said, we've sinned. Because we've departed and we've left off listening to God. We're not listening to God's word. We're not doing what God wants us to do. Can you say amen with me that that's where we're at today? That's the problem that we all have today. That's the problem our country's in. And we can. I'm so thankful that I can say this morning that it's awesome to be able to stand this morning and say, we have sinned. Me and my family have sinned. This church family has sinned. We have sinned. That's the beginning of then getting to the good news of the gospel, that if we'll acknowledge our sin, then there's a forgiveness and there's a healing, there's a restoration, there's an abundant life that God talks about in Ephesians 3:20, where he actually says, I want to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think. Now, how about, I don't know about y'all, but I can think of a lot of stuff to ask God. A lot of stuff, and I can ask him for it, but the Bible says he wants to do more than that. But it only happens when we come before God like Daniel did, personally, on our own, and then together corporately and say, we've sinned. We've sinned. There's never been a greater time in our world that I think sin is not talked about so often. it's interesting when you go and it's kind of, there's not, if you look in the Bible, there's not like a formal definition where you look at one spot in the Bible and God says, puts the word sin, kind of like Webster's Dictionary does, and says, here's the definition of sin. There's not really that formal definition. But what the Bible does do with the word sin and throughout the whole Bible, it describes to us the nature of sin and in so describes us what sin is. I'm going to give us that reminder this morning. I found three just basic themes in the Bible that you may want to jot down and just keep in mind and just think about as you're aware, and God makes you aware of sin in your life and the sin surrounding us. But listen to this. So really biblically, there's three things we find. First of all is this. Sin is the actions that we do by which we rebel against God. It's the actions we do when we're rebelling against God and what His plan, what His word, what His guidelines are. Amen. He created us. The Bible says created in His own image. He made you and I, so He knows how we work. He knows what works and doesn't work. So what happens with sin is we make choices and we take action and we're rebelling against God Himself. The Bible tells us that we sin and sin only against God. It's often we just feel, well, it's my body, my life, my family, my choice, but no, it's rebelling against sin. Secondly is this, when we sin, this is what we do. We miss His purpose for our life. Y'all, that's a huge one. Reminded, and throughout the Bible, especially in the book of Jeremiah, Prophet Jeremiah says He's got plans for us. He's got a plan for us, what He wants us to do. He created you for a purpose. And listen, it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. It doesn't matter even what sin's been in your life in the past. It's not changed God's plan, and I don't want you to miss God's purpose and plan for your life. Amen. You don't want to miss God's purpose and plan for your life. I mean, and I'm telling you, God can take a wasted life, no matter how much time or years you may have wasted, and He can get you on plan and purpose, and God can put the God factor in it and His power factor in it. Man, He can do more with you. His statement's often been said, it's yet to see what one man or one woman totally surrendered, sold out for God can do. So you don't want to miss His purpose for your life. But the third thing, there's this theme that does roll just the entire Bible. It's this. When we sin, what sin is, we surrender to the power of evil instead of surrendering to the power of God. And here's the thing about the power of evil. When you surrender to the power of evil, you know, the Bible says specifically, it talks one about, we think about a lot, we talk a lot, that's money. And the Bible doesn't tell us that money is the root of all evil. It tells us what? It says the love of money is the root of all evil. So God points out these things in the Bible, and these Satan has an evil power that he would take with money or with pride or with just the prestige of what your skills are, your job is, what you accomplish in life, what's going on. And so he takes all these things and he gives the appearance, sin makes us appear that they're very powerful. Amen. We would often think, man, if I had a $1 billion, or if I just had $100,000, or I just had a little more extra money at the end of the week of my paycheck, man, the freedom it'd give me, the more I'd feel, it gives you the feeling of power. People often will get that with their just skills. You see people on TV, they're a good athlete, they're a politician, there's somebody at your work, they're very good at what they do, and they feel like they've got power in their lives from it, and all that is this lie from Satan. And the world, the things that seem to be powerful in the world are nothing compared to the power of God. I mean, you get the power of God on your life because you're dealing with sin in your life. And can I pause there and tell you that there's a heavy price to be paid if you deal with sin? You begin to deal with sin in your life. You just simply begin to pray, God, just reveal sin in my life. Just go before Him and say, I have sinned, God, and go ahead and give the list that you already know we know of. Stay there a moment with God and say, now, God, would you reveal to me things that are sin in my life, that what I've done is I've kind of rebelled against you, I'm missing your purpose, I've got the wrong power in my life, just reveal them to me. Oh, He's good at that, amen. He'll let you know. Now, I remind you what will happen is, in your very family, you may have your husband or wife may pour water on that fire and say, oh, you're not that bad, and that's okay, and that's the Old Testament, that's old times. Or your children may say, oh, mom, oh, dad. Your friends may say, there's a price to be paid. God says that he has come, and he'll even send a sword between you and your family and your loved ones right there in your home and family if you start dealing with sin and living for him. Amen? You'll pay a price at work. You'll pay a price at church. I'll never forget over the years. It's amazing. I can take you right now, and it's just this vivid today. It happened years ago. I'm in the kitchen over in the fellowship hall, and I had this man. Obviously, it's one of his pet sins. He loved to drink and didn't think anything wrong with it. And he literally told me this. He said, preacher, you know, it's all right that you preach against the sin of drinking. I'm thinking, okay. But I just don't want to hear it all the time. Oh, okay, well, we mention it. Listen, what's the pattern on that? We'll just mention it maybe once every 3 or 4 years, you know, and give you a break. I mean, there's a price to be paid. And so here's the thing I found as I studied. So we understand a little bit about sin. And think about this. I was amazed, and think with me about your sin as I think about my sin, about our church's sin, about this world's sin. But isn't it amazing how we don't talk about sin? Now, we may talk about the results of sin, the things that the consequences of sin, things that are happening. We don't talk about sin. I began to think, and I don't ever want to say never, because, you know, never is a big word, and one of you will come correct me that I was wrong. So I can hardly ever, okay, remember anybody coming to me, let's say that's having marriage trouble, and they come to me and they say, preacher, you know, me and my husband, we've sinned. We've got a terrible sin problem. And it's ruining our marriage. And if we don't deal with that sin, that's not what people come and say. People come and say to me and say, he did that. He's been doing that. You can't believe what he did. He does that. He don't do this. Or she does that or don't do that. And you know what all that is? All that is just the things that sin is causing. But the problem is sin. And I'll guarantee you, it doesn't matter what you think is wrong in your marriage, and maybe really is wrong in your marriage. The problem that Satan is attacking every one of us in our marriage is sin. That's the problem. And not all the things that come from it. It's kind of like someone deals with drinking or drugs and things. And I was reminded, Dickie, people go to a lot of treatment for addictions. A lot of treatment. There's some wonderful treatments out there. But I promise you this. But the percentage of people that go back into what they were doing is so high because they didn't deal with sin. Alcohol and drugs are just a symptom of something that sin is causing. And if you don't deal with the sin and deal with the relationship with God, you just go in this continual cycle. Amen? People don't come to me and say, preacher, pray for my child. They're just unruly at school, and we're having trouble with them, and things are going on, you know, and all these things. But nobody comes and says, my child just has a sin problem, Mike. We don't talk that way. We don't think that way. And that's what Daniel's doing. God is using Daniel to remind us that we have this sin problem, and it's something that we have to deal with. You know, it's interesting. People want to think of the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were there, and that Satan came, and that Satan caused the sin. He caused even Adam to sin. Did you know the source of sin is not Satan? Satan was not the source of sin. You know what Satan did in the garden? He introduced, hear me, folks. He introduced sin to Eve and Adam. He introduced it. The nature was there within them. The nature's in all of us. And so what Satan did is he simply came and he introduced them to the sin, the idea of, hey, you don't have to do what God said. In fact, you might want to consider doing opposite of what God said, because there's going to be some benefits gained. He introduced it. So that flew all over me, and I thought, man, how real that is today. And here's the question. What has Satan used as he's introduced sin into my life and your life? How has he used it for us to introduce it into others' lives? Think about that. Think about right now the times that we've introduced sin into our lives. I'll never forget, y'all. And I'm telling you, you know, the Bible's killing Proverbs. And if you drink and you don't think anything's wrong with it, you got a right to be wrong, okay? But I'm telling you, the Bible tells us, the Bible says, wine's a mocker, strong drink's raging. Those that are deceived by it are unwise. Don't get much clearer than that, amen? The Bible talks about that, about being a great man, and it said that John would not drink. And I'm just telling you, if that's part of your life, I love you, just aim it, y'all right. I love you, God loves you, but I'm telling you what it is, it's sin. And what it is, and I'll never forget, I was 16 years old. I got my license. I can see his face. I love him to death to this day. And I'll remember, Dave, what we did. I got my license. He picked up. He was older than me. We know the first place we rode up to Pappy's, up to the store at Pappy's restaurant. And he went in and bought a six-pack of beer. And he introduced me. He introduced me to that. Now, is it his fault? Did he make me sin? No, he just introduced it to me. Y'all all right? So the question is, what are you introducing into your children's lives and your families and your friends' lives or what you have in the past? I shudder to think the things I've done. But here's another question. What are the people that you're surrounding yourself with, what are they introducing? What sin are they introducing into your life? It's amazing, y'all. It's amazing. When we look around and with all that's going on with this LGBT too and this gender assignment, I think we looked at it here on Sunday night. Bible says in Genesis, God created them. He created them male and female. Y'all, that's it. You ain't got to decide. I don't know about y'all. I got enough stuff to worry about in my life than deciding what sex I am. God took care of that. But what it is, you know how that happens? Someone introduces those way of thinking to someone at some point. And there needs to be someone that would be, hey, there's few of us still around, amen, that are introduced. That's wrong. Don't do that. That's sin. It's just like, y'all with me? Somebody has to introduce it's wrong, and then it gets in like Satan. It's been happening all through time. But someone has to stand up and say, hey, we've sinned. And listen, you can't get to the glorious good part. It's not about just standing against sin, preaching and getting it, be old talking about sin and all this. I mean, so it's about realizing what's available when you get beyond it, when you get forgiven of it. Amen? Can you say amen today? I mean, forgiveness of sin, it feels wonderful to know. And as I still sin, I get forgiveness. So Satan introduced it. It was in our nature. Adam and Eve rebelled. Remember the definition? They rebelled against God's clear command. And then sin just swooped into their lives. I've heard it described as like a malignant cancer. We all dread that word. We've got people in our church battling with cancer. And the result, you're always looking. You're going for the scans, Byron, and the tests. We don't want to see it spreading. We don't want to see it going wild. And that's what, oh man, that's what sin does. It starts out a little bit at a time, amen. Get a little sin introduced and you play with it a little bit and you go on and what. But the question is, what would it be if we continually would just say, hey, I was born with this sin. See, Adam and Eve had a sin nature. It came because God gave them choice and gives us choice. We are sinners, y'all. And that's the problem. And the problem that why we don't get better, and why we don't experience the greatness of God and the forgiveness of God and His love and His plans and His purpose and stop rebelling against and fighting against sin, is because we just want to hold on to our sin. We inherit that nature. In Ephesians 2:3, the Bible says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh. You know what lust simply says? We think of lust in only one connotation, and that's in the sexual connotation. But what lust is, what lust really means is, I want it now. So that word can cover a lot of things. I want it now. Some of you thinking that the last thing you saw in town that you bought. Man, I want that now. And God says we all have this problem that we want what we want that pleases us and satisfies us. We want it now. Every person, though, is responsible, y'all. It's a choice. In Romans 1, 18 through 20, the Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what we may know of God, He is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Listen, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power, His Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's a powerful word. So the Bible says, y'all, we're living in the age of grace. That's what this age is called right now. Until Jesus returns and raptures up the church, and not talking about just people in church. It's not like, I want to be at church that Sunday. I want to be at church. No, it's the church is those who have given the hearts of Jesus. He says, listen, until this age, y'all, here's the thing. We go around and we live a life thinking, you know, pretty good old boy, pretty good old girl, you know. They make some mistakes. They got some problems. They got some things about them. It's called sin. Amen. I'm glad my mama taught me what sin was. I'm glad when I would sin at times, and I needed much more times, my mama and daddy would whoop me, sometimes with a hickory, sometimes with a belt. Read your Bible and say, well, I'll pray. We're going to abuse somebody, do something wrong. You know, literally I read, well, let me just, if I can't just get it for you right quick this morning. Just, we got 2 minutes about left for y'all to keep the clock on me. Proverbs, let me read you what the Bible says, okay? Why should I talk about it, what I think or feel? Why should it matter what you think or feel? Amen? Bible tells me there's a way I think's right and it's wrong. Amen? I want God to report out more of the wrong things. But let's see what it says. If I can find it. Maybe I can't find it. So I weren't planning to do this, obviously. Oh, okay. Proverbs chapter 23. I've shared many of you visiting with us. I challenge. I've been reading Proverbs. There's a Proverbs every day. There's 31 of them. So it's days the 23rd. I like, part of my devotion, I like to read the Proverbs. It's about wisdom. So what the Bible says. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:11, it says, apply thy heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Listen to God. And you do, through his word, he'll tell us we're sinners. Well, look at verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child. If thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. I'm here. I'm still alive. Y'all okay? Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. My son, if their heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice in mine. My reins will rejoice when my... Y'all, that's what God said. In verse 17, he said, let not thou envy every sinner, but be thou the fear of the Lord all the day long. Listen, it is sin when somebody abuses a child. Amen? That's the problem. Because people commit sin, that doesn't say we go against God's word. Amen? I needed much more... You know, I'm trying to clear it up. You know, whoopings, spankings, whatever you call. God called it beatings. I didn't get near I needed. The Bible talks about saving a child from hell. See, the Bible talks about sin. Daniel said we've sinned. Y'all, we've got to remain a church who stands against sin. We're a lot smaller than we used to be because I stand against sin. Amen. Doesn't matter who you are, how much money you give, or what you think, sin is sin. And the answer to sin is no. No. I've said it time and time again. We live in a world who people do not want to hear no. You know how I know that? I don't want to hear it. My mom and daddy told me no. The teachers told me no. Miss Sanders told me no. My bosses, I've had bosses tell me no. And God has told me no. No is a good word, amen? No is a good word. It'll be God calling there now. And you know why we laugh? It's because for some of you, that's about the only way you're going to get you. The answer to sin is it's a problem, and God has an answer for it, and that's repentance in Jesus Christ. Confession, transformation, life change. Y'all, it's great, but The guy was getting on a flight. He flew a lot. On this particular flight, as he walked in the door of that plane, the stewardess handed every passenger a parachute and told him to put it on. And you know, you need to do what the stewardess says. So everybody got on, and everybody, no explanation. You know? I guess there's always a new program, a new plan by the airlines, but simply this, put this on. Every person put on the parachute and sat down. Well, you know how uncomfortable that is. Can you imagine how uncomfortable flying is anyway, amen? And they sit down in the, you know, them seats, they ain't got no room, you know, and they got that parachute on, and they're leaned up like this, you know, and I mean, they ain't even got off the ground. And one by one, people started taking their parachutes off, you know, just taking them off and putting them in the floor, putting them nearby, whatever. It didn't take long. Most everybody had them off because it's just uncomfortable, you know. Who would want to live like that? Tell the story a different way. As the passengers are getting on the plane, the stewardess, in an urgent voice with an urgent face, says, "Put this parachute on." Because about 15 minutes, and then the door's already closing, okay, there ain't no getting off. We have no control. This plane's taking off, and exactly about 30 minutes in flight, the engine's going out, this plane's going down, and the only hope you have is this parachute that you're going to have, and I'm going to open the door and you can jump out. You know what everybody did? Everybody put on those parachutes and they felt like the most comfortable and pleasant thing in the world. That's what salvation is a picture of. Salvation is a complete change. The old man's dead. It's a complete surrender to God. And what happens is then, you understand what sin is. You deal with it daily. And you have that protection of God. Church, if you can take salvation, which is Jesus' laws and his word and what sin is, off according to where you are, what you're doing, then the Bible questions that you really know him. Would you close your eyes and bow your head? We've sinned, God. This pastor's sinned, this church family sinned. And Lord, we come now during a time of invitation, Lord, because we want to invite those that are here who have never turned from their sin and their self and turned to Jesus. That there's never been really a time and a place that they've really given their life to Christ, begin to live for him. Lord, we want to give. We want this to be the time and place. Oh, Lord, I pray for whatever reason someone's come. Maybe they came to visit with family. Maybe they'd heard about the church. Maybe they came for baptism. Lord, there's multiple reasons. But, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit might grab and just remind that, Lord, you may return. You may return before we leave this church. A heart attack may strike today. A wreck may take a life without Jesus Christ. See, what came upon Adam and Eve was death. The consequences of sin is death. Physical and spiritual death. And what Jesus offers is a healing for that spiritual death. A new life. Would you come? We're going to begin singing a song in a moment. You can leave that seed and leave your sin and give forgiveness. How about it, Christian? What is the sin God's revealing? What's he convicting you of? What would you like to get out of your life so that you can get on with the life that he's got planned for you? Would you come and just deal with him? Maybe God wants you to be part of this church family. Maybe you need to follow him in baptism, or maybe you just want to come be part of the family and you want to come and be a part of serving in a place where we still know what sin is and we still know what forgiveness and love is. We understand what a true walk with God is. Would you come? Whatever the need is, Jesus is the answer. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Jessica, would you lead us?
Join me. Get a hymnal.